Vernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody. As always, Thursday nights, brand new content drops. We invite you to visit the brand new MetalMayhemROC.com website. There you'll find direct links to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, however you're consuming your podcasting content. Tonight, we have a fun one. First and foremost, I want to bring onto the show my co-host for tonight, Metal Walt. Hey, Walt, how are you, man?
Hey, Verno, what's up, man? I'm doing the summer thing, working from the shore, staring at the beach. Kids and wife are at the boardwalk, but life carries on, man. We got to talk to people in the music industry. So, yeah, today we try to spread our wings a little bit. And we brought in a singer-songwriter, rock guitar player, who does have some experience in the hard rock and metal field, Orianthi, of Greek origin, Australian raised, and yep, currently resides in California and was apparently going to be moving to Nashville. So very intriguing and interesting person. I think you would agree.
Yeah, we found out in this interview, we're going to get right to it in a second, but she's on today to promote the live DVD, Live from Hollywood, this September. The sixth solo album, Rock Candy's coming out. We touch on some cuts from this album, the live one, talk about, you know, she's played with Steve Vai, Alice Cooper, Michael Jackson, Dave Stewart, the list goes on and on. So like Walt says, we try to spread our wings and just, you know, see what's out there, man. There's a lot of killer acts and great rock and metal stories that we're trying to bring to you. So
I just think that the listeners are going to be intrigued at the dedication that this artist puts into her craft. And you'll hear a lot about how she talks about it. She's very humble. She's all about looking forward, not what was yesterday, what's tomorrow. And you know what? She's played with a lot of global artists, and it's really all come from just putting her head down and hard work, and quite the testament to her to build a whole career for a girl who I think is not even 40 years old. So pretty amazing. Oh, yeah. So I hope you, the listeners, enjoy it. It's really interesting and diverse material, and check out our live album. It's good stuff.
Yeah. And so like listeners, when you check this out, shoot us a email, go to the website, metalmayhemroc.com. Tell us what you like about it, what you didn't like about it. Just, you know, let's interact a little bit and get a little feedback. So for my metal brother, Metal Walt, I'm the Vernomatic, and here we go. Orianthi, Metal Mayhem, ROC.
We want to welcome our guest for today, Orianthi.
How you guys doing?
We're good. So for the listeners here, we've made a promise to expand our horizons on the show and bring unique and different types of rock artists onto the forum, some which you may or may not know of. So today we're bringing on Orianthi, who's California-based rock guitarist and singer-songwriter. In addition, a renowned solo artist, and who has also performed with various musical collaborations with artists such as Michael Jackson, Carlos Santana, Alice Cooper, Richie Sambora, Don Felder, amongst others. And on the 15th of July, has released her new live album and concert video, Live from Hollywood. So it's our pleasure to be able to speak to you. Congratulations on the new release. What we'd like to do today is really do a deep dive on the live album and your solo career, and then kind of go backwards and for the listeners to really educate them on your really, really unique musical upbringing, which I think is maybe very different than a lot of the artists that we interview on the show. So I'll get it started. So first off, the performance itself, I understand it was captured this year from January, and it was a show in Hollywood, California, at a venue called the Bourbon Room. That's and right. It includes solo songs from sprinkling in from all of your solo releases. So tell us a little bit about the venue, maybe the band members and the song selection.
So
So the venue we chose, I mean, it, you know, sounded really good. It was sort of a place where, I mean, we did this thing kind of last minute. So we sort of packed it out with a bunch of fans out here in LA, got Glenn Sobel on drums from the Alice Cooper band. Mm-hmm. He's like my brother. He came in and just killed it. Michael Bearden from, This Is It. I met him when I was playing with Michael Jackson, and he's now the MD for Lady Gaga. So he was, you know, luckily in town. So came down. Nick Mayberry, fellow Aussie guitar player, incredible musician. He came and played on that too. Justin Andres. So we got Carmen Vandenberg from Bones, UK, good friend of mine. She got off the plane from Italy and came straight there. Thankfully she did. It was awesome. And Ty from Vintage Trouble, you know, tons of like friends and incredible musicians came on this Live from Hollywood thing. And it was just, it's pretty much live. I mean, not too many fixes. A lot of people ask like, oh, did you go back and fix a lot? No, we just mixed it, surround sound, got rid of some of the crowd banter. Cause, I said this before, but people found where the mics were placed. So they were like saying crazy shit in the mics. So we just, and then clip that. But we ultimately, I mean, it's a very live DVD and record. So everything you hear is kind of captured the vibe, and it was a good evening. We had a good time. So I hope people enjoy it.
I did enjoy it. And what I really enjoyed about each of these cuts, I'll admit it, I wasn't that familiar with it, but after listening to it two or three times, each song had its own identity, but there was a nice flow. First standout track that I really liked was the track Think Like a Man. What do my notes say? A simple yet catchy song, very melodic, easy toe tapper. Tell us about that song.
Thank you. That's off my first record we put out when I was with Interscope Records. So I wrote that. It was on the kind of pop rock release that I put out, probably 2009. That was put out on that record. Howard Benson produced that one, and a lot of fun to write. And yeah, I mean, a lot of fun to play live too. That's a kind of got the AC/DC kind of vibe and the, you know, really simple. Yeah, sort of, you know, it's a vibe.
Fun track.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So, Oreo, what would maybe be good? Because I have a couple questions to some of the tracks too. And I actually want to play a little game with you on some of the tracks. But for the listeners that may not be familiar with you, maybe just describe you as a musical artist. Like, what kind of singer would you say you are? A guitar player? Like, describe the sound that comes across in these 11 songs on this this live album.
Look, I'm not sure. I kind of leave it up for people to decide because I just sing and play. You know, I mean, I grew up listening to a lot of blues. My influences range from, I mean, my dad's record collection, which was Jimi Hendrix, to Fleetwood Mac, to my mum's collection, which was on the flip side, like Cher, to, you know, lots of different things. Like, she listened to so many different artists. I mean, from like Roy Orbison to, I mean, I grew up writing songs. That's the first thing I did when I was 6 years old. Got my acoustic, wrote my first, you know, few tracks, then moved on to electric when I was 11 years old, got into Jimi Hendrix, Santana, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Gary Moore, B.B. King, Freddie King, all that kind of stuff. And then went into the heavier stuff like Sabbath and whatnot later. And yeah, Steve Vai was my first like artist I opened for when I was like 14 years old. And then ZZ Top, and I just sort of, I don't know, I've just been doing a lot of different things with music. I mean, it's been a crazy, colorful journey, and I'm just, you know, excited every day to wake up and be able to do this for a living. So, yeah.
Well, I agree with Verno. I think on the 11 songs on the album, there's quite a bit of diversity on the song. So I have my own take on this. So I'm going to play a little game with you. We're going to go in reverse. I'm going to describe my notes to the songs, and I want you to guess which song you think I'm thinking about.
Okay.
How well you know your own material, okay? Sound like fun?
Yeah, all right. Sounds good.
Okay, so this one has a country music feel in the song structure and your vocal.
Okay, country music. Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know. Because some of them, a lot of my songs actually do have a bit of country in them. That's the thing. A lot of them do. So,
okay, well, I'll give you the answer. I was thinking the song Impulsive.
Oh, Impulsive. Okay, cool. That kind of, you know, it's funny. That song I wrote with, I was listening to a lot of NXS at the time, which is kind of funny, but that's sort of, yeah, but you know, country, cool.
Right. Yeah, I took country away from me, and it's obvious, right? A lot of the songs have a, you know, a hard rock bluesy feel. And I think,
I guess with the drums. Yeah, I'm just thinking of the drum fill here and everything. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a couple songs that at least are my favorites on the album. Sinner's Hymn, Heaven in This Hell, and then Blow. I really am digging the vibe on these songs because they're kind of those, you know, rockers with a lot of great blues work in it, but they're heavy, heavy songs. And it really showcases your shredding guitar style throughout the songs, either in the middle or on sort of the outro on them. So I think those would be synonymous with your sound. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about some of those songs.
Yeah. I mean, they're very heavily riff based, and making that record O with my great friend, producer Marty Fredrickson in Nashville. We put that together really fast, but I mean, he's a real rocket. So we're experimenting with sounds and different pedals, and I'm not really a big pedal person, but I was like, let's just mess around, you know, some of these guitar tones, make it a bit different from a record I've done before. So that one had the octave fuzz on it, and I just had that riff for a minute, and I brought it in. I had the lyrics I wrote, and it's Sinner's Hymn I'm talking about, was the first one. And that one, you know, is probably about it. It's like a blues story. It's about it, you know, blues man goes to every town, kind of like runs from his demons, goes to the next town, kind of almost like a Robert Johnson kind of vibe, you know. And that's kind of how I wrote it. It's like a movie in my mind. That's how I write lyrics. And so that one was fun to do, fun to play live. And, you know, that whole record, like Contagious as well, that song is actually a positive song, believe it or not. It's actually about, like, you know, hate's contagious. Like, you don't want to get away from that. You want to bask in your light energy. And so that's what it's all about, like sort of running from the darkness in a sense. And, you know, people really like that one live. And Impulsive was another song we wrote for the record O as well. A lot of fun. And what was the other one? There's so many. Crawling Out of the Dark, I think that's on there as well. I'm not sure. I don't even know which one's made the record, the playlist here. But we played a lot of songs that evening. We had to cut them back a bit. So, yeah.
The guitarist that flew in from Italy. What was her name?
Carmen Vandenberg.
Oh, okay. The song that you introduced her in, because you did share the story on the CD about how she direct flight in, the guitar duel in that song was excellent. It was.
Oh, she's a great player and a good friend of mine. I met her a long time ago when I was playing Download Festival, and she came up in London. And she's also dear friends with my English family, Dave Stewart, the whole Stewart family. So I've known her for a minute, and just incredible talent. I love what she did with Jeff Beck and the Bones, and she's got such a unique sound, and her instincts are amazing. So it was really cool that she came in and added her, you know, vibe to the whole evening.
Is she like yourself, where she plays with other people and does her own thing, or is she in a set band?
Yeah, she's in Bones, and she does guest with other people too. So yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting. Bones, I've actually, for, you know, anybody that listens to Sirius XM, the Octane channel, they featured Bones UK quite a bit last year. And it was funny, Orianti, I was thinking of songs like Contagious and What's It Gonna Be? And again, I see those as like sort of that modern day hard rock song that are very sort of radio friendly, that would certainly fit in right in that channel, Octane, that fit in with that style of music that's very popular today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Yes. Well, maybe I add it. The next record, we got this Rock Candy coming out. Gosh, my next album's coming out in a couple of months. But first single's coming out in 2 weeks now. So off that.
Yeah. So this live was the carryover. Tell us a little bit about your next solo album. It's coming out this fall.
Yeah. So Rock Candy's coming out. We just put out a lot of music because it's been a minute. You know, the last record I put out was during the pandemic in 2020. And so with Frontiers, I was like, we've got to put a lot of stuff out, guys. And so we put out the live DVD, live album as well, all mixed in surround. It's, you know, with Mark Jacobs, who directed it. He's mm-hmm. an incredible director and good friend. And then I made the record Rock Candy in 12 days with Jacob Bunton, who's a good friend of mine and great producer and guitar player, violin player, piano player. So we did that record. We kind of wrote a song a day, recorded one a day as well, and put it all together. And it's called Rock Candy. It's not the Sammy Hagar on True Song. A lot of people ask yeah, that. Yeah. Love Sammy. He's actually a friend of mine. No, it just kind of summed up what the record is. You know what I mean? It's kind of rock. It's a bit of pop. It's got that kind of flavor. And it really just kind of, I was like, this sounds like Rock Candy. Like, you know, so why not? But it's kind of funny because a lot of people don't even like, like the young sort of people haven't heard of that song. So now they're going back to it, going, yes, guys, go check out that track. Oh, and so it's cool. I mean, a lot of fun to have put that together, and I hope people enjoy it. Really do. So the first song, Light It Up, is coming out on the 27th. We just shot the music video.
Wow, that's great.
What's the story behind recording it in 12 days?
Well, Jacob Bunden was in town for a short period of time, and I needed to make a record. So we kind of just scheduled it that we would make it in that period. And it was a challenge, but it was fun. I mean, we write songs really fast together. And I wanted to sort of do that where you just show up at the studio, I came in with a riff, an idea of the song, and then wrote it, finished it, recorded it the whole day. So, wow. And then I left it with him. He sort of mixed it, sent it to me. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Or these changes, or came back and did a few things. But ultimately, the whole record was done really fast. And then the band played on it. And yeah, so it was a lot of fun to do.
Well, you know, that's actually a perfect segue to the next subject I wanted to bring up. And it's linked to one of your songs on the album called According to You. And in the liner notes, the press notes, it mentions here specifically that, you know, you've had 17 million streams on Spotify, and it's even had a new resurgence via TikTok. So, you know, I think...
tags on that one.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's amazing. Amazing. And you know, and I think about it from, let's say, the traditional hard rock or metal artist that's, you know, had a longer career, that they had to go out and sell albums and different kind of things, and how they keep themselves current in today's environment. So, you know, what I think I've seen here, and even studying your social media forms, again, I've seen on your Facebook how you really set it up there, and you know, your cats are in there. I see that sometimes you show your meals on there, but it's also how you brand yourself personally as an artist. I mean, you're always well put together, very beautifully dressed. You have a lot of color. You play your guitars. You have solo spots. You have band spots. You really have that imagery that comes across that really sells your brand. And I suppose it's really the way that you have to be in this modern day way of advertising. So tell us a little bit about that side of the business and how you kind of have to look at it from a normal, you know, you can't look at it from a normal selling CD channel, and you have to do it differently.
Well, I look at my social media pages as a variety show from hell. So it's very colorful. I don't want to bore myself, and people that have been following my career, I'm grateful to still have them following me. There's lots of things coming up. I mean, tons of things I'm really excited about. So it's a journey, and in this industry, it's so weird. Like, things take so much time, and I want it to happen yesterday. So I'm like going, okay, there's so many things I have, you know, done, and it's coming out, like cooking shows coming out. I've got this option work on right now. It's a musical cooking show. And, you know, so that's not my other passion, aside from music, is cooking, because I'm half Greek. So, you know, you grow up in that environment where it's about bringing people together, and that's what I'm all about. Like, I feel like, you know, as an entertainer, as an artist and creator, like, we're here to serve people. And like, if it's entertainment value, that's what it's there for, escapism. If you can provide that, that's cool. And I'm all about color, and just, I'm partially like a hippie rocker. I just love a lot of different things, you know, and just bringing people together, inspiring. Like, the more people I can inspire to you know, play music as an outlet to express themselves, to find comfort in, that's what it's all about. And whether they choose it as a career or just a hobby, it's something that I really love to do. I love to play my guitars all the time. And I play piano and drums and tons of other things too. So just inspiring people is where it's at.
It's funny. I was my wife and my daughter were looking at your Facebook page when I was prepping over the weekend, and their first reaction, two ladies were saying, oh my God, look at this artist. Number one, she's physically beautiful. Look at her hats. Look at her hair. Look at that outfit. That's perfect. Look at the guitar color. Oh my God, look at the background. Look at her apartment. They were like, from a female point of view, they were just blown away. So it's obviously, you know what you're doing. So I give you thumbs up on that.
That's nice. They don't say the crazy Australian who are used to doing like this very colorful individual. You know, thank you for that. And honestly, for me, it's all about inspiring. And if you can, you know, I get a lot of messages saying like, oh, this song helped me through this period of my life. Or, you know, thank you for, you know, inspired to pick up the guitar, because it saved me. And those messages mean the most to me. So
I have a couple of comments as we go back in your back catalog, and it revolves around guitar players. How did you get involved with Steve Vai as a 14-year-old? Tell us about Steve Vai and you.
I love Steve. He is like an uncle, brother. You know, my manager at the time when I was 14, got me support for CFI, came into town in Adelaide. And I was, you know, this 14-year-old kid, I just playing cover bands, and I had this backing tape that I made, and I was reading Guitar Player magazine. So I'd read his metaphysical like column that he would write. And I thought, wow, this guy's like really, because I was really spiritual that age. I was reading a lot of different things. So this guy, like, firstly, I was reading about Steve, and then I listened to his music, right? It was Alien Love Secrets and Passion and Warfare and all that. Incredible album. One of my favorites, Passion and Warfare. So I listened to that and I was like, oh my God, I'm opening for this guy. This is crazy. Like, I'm by myself, like, you know, the backing tape. And I'm a girl. And so in this nightclub with all these guys with their arms folded, like, what the hell are you going to do? You know, that was kind of tough for me. I'm not going to say it was easy growing up playing guitar, but, you know, I just went and did my thing, and he saw that. And, you know, it was kind of like going out there and sort of just, I was pretty nervous actually. And then Steve, I turned around and Steve was watching me for the whole performance, and I got even more nervous. And afterwards he's like, you know, I want to sign you to my label, and there's talk and all this stuff. And at the time, I mean, I was living in Australia and, you know, just kind of getting things together, you know, and whatnot. So he just stayed in contact with me. It was a real inspiration and just like mentor for a while. Like, I'll send him demos. He would tell me, oh, this is great. Let me change this part here. Look at your solo in here. So constructive criticism in a sense of like, teacher, and that meant the world to me, like it really did. And
sure.
So coming over to America when I was like 18, and I played with Santana, I was like 18, and at Memorial Drive, Santana's like my other dad in a sense, like he's been there for a long time as well, since I was like 11, 12. So Having these incredible guitar players being inspirations and sending messages of just keep going, do this, you know, I mean, that on it meant the world. And you know, so coming over to America, getting my first record deal, and then supporting Steve again in America. Like we did about a whole Californian run with him, and a real blast. That was when I was like 19, 20 years old. So yeah, a lot of fun.
Let me ask you, how is Carlos doing after the events of the other night?
He's doing great. He texted me this morning. And last night, and we've been, you know, day of, I was just texting him that afternoon, actually. And I was so worried, and his wife, Cindy, and she's like, it's doing fine. I was just, you know, when I heard that, I was insane. But he was dehydrated. It was really hot, you know, right now. I mean, it's so hot, and under the lights as well. You can imagine touring is a grueling thing. And, but no, he's doing amazing, he said. So.
Well, good. I'm glad your friend is doing well. I saw Carlos years ago. I grew up on Carlos and Santana as well. So,
right.
After that, good. Yeah. That's good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have a question for you as well. Back to your upbringing. This is like an oddball, non-musical question, but you and I have one thing in common. I read that you actually worked on a song that was put in a commercial for the Japanese electronics company Panasonic, a company that I worked for from the year 2000 to 2005 in their corporate headquarters in New Jersey. So I said, oh my God, we're linked through Panasonic. So was that true?
Yes, I did. There's a whole video clip we shot, this massive TV. It was like 100 and something inch TV. It was massive. And so I had this song called Now or Never. And we did that. It was a funny day, and they had these big cranes, and yeah, it was wild. That's probably one of the first commercials I shot out here in America. So yeah. Yeah, fun times. And it's cool doing that kind of stuff, like Panasonic, done Hyundai commercials and, you know, just different things like that. So, yeah, it's cool when they ask you to do that.
Sure.
Well, we couldn't have you on the show without asking about the whole Michael Jackson situation. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to see Michael Jackson and his brothers on the Victory Tour back in 84, 85.
Oh, wow. You know, it's funny, like, stepping into that whole scenario, I thought it was going to be a lot of like lead playing and like heavy stuff, right? It was actually a lot of funk rhythm parts that I had to learn. So it made me step up as a rhythm guitar player more than anything else, that, you know, getting that gig and working with him. He was such a perfectionist. It was just incredible. I mean, that whole band, the dancers, the whole production, it was a dream come true to be part of something like that. It really was. And unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but I'm so grateful I'm with him, truly, yeah.
Now, you're not necessarily a shredder like Eddie. What was it like, not so much that you can't handle Learn and Beat It, but just, you know, doing that solo. And did Michael share any insight with that whole Eddie situation that hasn't been documented in the press previously? And have you ever, did you ever have a chance to meet Eddie Van Halen?
Okay. Remember all those questions. Okay. So firstly, with stepping into playing the Beat It solo, it was very daunting. I mean, when I got the message to come in and learn it the night before, I was working with Diane Warren in the studio, actually on my album, finishing that up. So I signed a Jimmy Iovine, ready to go with my album, right? Working away in the studio, get a MySpace message to basically come in. Hey, Michael saw you on the Grammys with Carrie Underwood. You're what we're looking for. Could you come in? I'm like, I thought it was some weird fan. Like, I didn't think it was real or anything. I was like, really? Through MySpace? And it was. So learn, Beat It, Do Diana. I want to be starting something that evening. And, you know, I was kind of beating myself up about the whole Beat It thing, because I was going, how am I, there's no way, like, stepping into someone's, I mean, she's like that, like Eddie or you know, it's like, there's so many incredible guitar players that have worked with him before as well. Like, I'm like, I don't know. I'm more of a blues bass player than anything, you know, blues rock. So I kind of just stepped into it going, you know what, I'm going to approach it as an artist standpoint. I'm going to do my own thing with a solo. So I didn't play it exactly like Eddie, or, you know what I mean? I played the same notes and everything, but I just my own feel to it, and he didn't play it exactly like that. And I'm like, well, I'm not a session player, guys. Like, I'm an artist. So, you know, and I thought to myself, well, if he likes it, he likes it. If he doesn't, I did my thing. You know what I mean? I was my own person, because you can't, like, the greats like that, you just can't, like Jennifer Batten as well, and Steve Stevens, all these people. I mean, just kind of going, hey, I'm who I am, and if he likes it, he does, and if he doesn't, that's cool. But you know, you're not trying to be somebody else, or you just can't feel those shoes, you know what I mean? It's like, it's crazy. But Eddie called me when I got the gig, and I was using his amplifiers, and he was very sweet, and he was very encouraging. He's like, congratulations. He actually invited me over for a barbecue, but I never went over because I was so busy rehearsing. There was no time. So, but we got to talk for a minute on the phone. He was lovely. I met him a couple of times briefly at NAMM, I remember, in the past. But yeah, what an incredible player. Yeah, I'm insane. So,
well, congratulations on that gig. That's fantastic.
Wild time. It really was. And working with Michael, I mean, when I first played the Beat It solo, when he came in, and he was like sitting in front of us all, I was like, how do I play guitar again? It was the most nerve-wracking moment of my life, I would say that for sure.
A couple of the other big collaborations you've done, I mean, you've worked with Alice Cooper and then, of course, Richie Sambora. So, I mean, I think maybe most hard rock fans, I mean, they should know that you were very instrumental and you kind of groundbreaking experience for Alice Cooper Band as being the first ever female lead guitarist on his touring band, something that you did, I believe, for several years. I actually saw the New Jersey show on the Iron Maiden tour when they did the Seventh Son of a Seventh Son tour. I was right there in the pit, probably 20 rows back. So I saw you play. And yeah, I mean, that's
all the blood.
Well, yeah. Tell us all about that. I mean, you know, again, from a female point of view, I mean, you were the trendsetter here. I mean, you actually then, you know, you did leave the band and Nita Strauss came in, and we actually learned today via the media channels that Nita put her resignation into Alice Cooper today. So she is leaving the band. But just tell us in general how that experience was with Alice.
Well, it was incredible. I got a call. I was actually in Nashville finishing up my album with Dave Stewart, Heaven in the South. And I got a call from, I did some work with Bob Ezrin and played the American Idol finale with Alice Cooper, School's Out, with all the contestants, right? So I played guitar for that. And then I was hanging with Alice and Bob Ezrin, and so I knew him. And then I guess Damon Johnson left with Thin Lizzy, right? So I get a call from Alice one evening. I was in Nashville finishing up like the last song of the album. Hey, could you come and would you be open to being my lead guitar player? You know, got to learn like 25 songs in a week and then we go on the world tour. And I'm like, yeah, sounds great. And I was like sipping my martini with Dave and, you know what I mean, finishing up the album. And I was like, sounds like a great idea. And like next day I was like, oh my God, 25 songs in a week? Holy shit. Really? So didn't speak to anyone. And our first show was, I think it was Jay Leno, I think, or no, Conan. I can't remember one of those two. And then we just went straight to New Zealand and then started our whole world tour. And it was amazing. I mean, at first my parents were like, what are you doing? Because they went online and they were looking at Alice, and then they were covered in tattoos and everything, like blood and the snakes. And they're like, what's going on here? Like, what is our daughter? What is she joining here? And then they met Alice and everybody in Australia, and they're like, oh, they're like the most loveliest people ever. We're so happy, you know, because Alice and his band, I mean, they're like just incredible people. And the sweetest. So I had a blast. I mean, it was just celebrating Halloween every night for close to 4 years. And I was, I dodged the knife. I dodged the Frankenstein, the snakes as well. I didn't, you know, have too many injuries with that tour. Broke my ankle, a couple of things. But other than that, you know, it was so much fun.
What was your favorite song to play in that set?
There's so many. I mean, Billion Dollar Babies is awesome. There are so many... you know, I mean, Halo of Flies was an undertaking. It was 9 minutes long. That song, when I first was like, I called Damon. I was like, dude, how the hell do I, because I had to learn so many. He's like, just think about it as like three songs. I'm like, good idea. So, you know what I mean? Because it was like an orchestrated thing. And I was talking to Alice before, and he was like, yeah, the guitar players are on different drugs. So we're like trying to, you know, orchestrate their different parts and bring them together. And it was wild. But I had to learn those parts. And it was so fun when we were up there, and yeah, just really good time. Good time.
I recall too, you got a spotlight during Poison where you got the showcase to do your own solo, correct?
Yes. Well, when we opened for Iron Maiden, that whole tour, Alice was like, well, you're going to go out and you're going to go and solo by yourself on the stage. And I'm like, oh, great. So I'm not going to wear a shield or something that people don't throw shit at me, because, you know, you get nervous. It was fun. I mean, people liked it, which was good, because you never know. I mean, I'm not that kind of guitar player. I'm more like, you know, as I said, blues rock. So I'm not like a shredder, like, you know, but I play some tapping and stuff here and there, and it's all, you know, fun, and it is part of the show. But it was honestly really cool experience. And the Maiden tour was really wild. I mean, the Maiden tour, and just we had so many different things that happened. I mean, so many. In the short period of time, like close to 4 years that we toured, it was just nonstop, like craziness.
I have to ask, as a female musician, the list goes on and on. By no means are you name dropping, because much respect, but is this a testament to determination? Diane Warren, Michael Jackson, Steve Vai, Dave Stewart, Alice Cooper. And how do you credit this young lady from Australia, the other side of the world, to be able to benefit from all these legends? For is there young ladies out in this world that look up to you, and you give that message that, hey, determination and persistence, the world is yours for taking? That has to be one of the most rewarding aspects of what you've done with your career.
You know, I never look back. That's the thing. And I always kind of have this sort of, I guess, stubborn heart about things. So if I want to do something or work with somebody or whatever, I just create. Ultimately, it's about creating and having utmost respect for a lot of people that it'll be a dream to work with this person. It'll be a dream. And some of these people just reach out to me. Like, with Dave Stewart, he messaged my manager to come work, but he wanted to work with me a long time ago. Mm-hmm. He messaged me to work with me, and then invited me to play Sound Up to Cancer. So I ended up playing that show, and then we ended up having dinner and a martini, and ended up just being great friends, you know, and wanting to hang out all the time, because he's such a creative, and I'm pretty like just anything sort of goes. I love collaborating with people. I love sharing that energy of just excitement over things. And it's about the music for me. It'll always be about the music. It'll always be about, like, as much as like it's, you know, it's like your image and all this stuff, and like, what, you know, your branding. Sure, that's part of it, because that's what we've kind of come to, like, now. Yeah. With Instagram or anything. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting here with my guitars. I'm trying to be a better guitar player, searching. I'm always searching. Like, I'll never stop. And writing better lyrics as well, and sharing more of myself and my experiences in my songs. The next record that I put out after Rock Candy as well, and the next record, I'm thinking about those right now. Like, I'm thinking about, you know, the road ahead, and not looking back at what I've done. As much as we're talking about it right now, and it's really awesome that I've done those things, I feel like I've done nothing, which is weird, but it's kind of like, that's where I start every day. Like, going, that's really cool and that's incredible. I have those experiences, but it's about creating your path and your future. So when I'm like 80 years old, I'm looking back going, yeah, that was a really colorful life. And I hopefully help people with my music inspire people to do better things than I've done, or bigger things, or, you know, just kind of like help them through, you know, that's kind of where it's at.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Walt, I'll let you finish up. Any other parting shots before we let her?
Yeah. So, you know, again, I think we just wanted to talk about briefly about the Richie Sambora project that you did with him. And actually today is his birthday. I saw that pop up. It's his 63rd birthday today. So happy birthday to Richie. So tell us a little bit of that, because I know you did an album, collaborations together with Bob Rock producing. I think you did get out on the road a little bit. So that's one that maybe flew under the radar a little bit, but I'm sure you have some history there you'd like to talk about.
Yeah, you know, it was incredible working with Bob Rock, and Richie and I wrote a lot of songs together, and we played a lot of shows as well. And we actually met in Maui when Richie showed up on family vacation to come and jam with Alice Cooper for the holiday, for the charity event we would do every year up there with Shep Gordon, his manager. And it was Sammy Hagar, Bob Rock was there, he's there most years, Steven Tyler, lots of people. I mean, you know, Doobie Brothers showed up, like so many, Weird Al Yankovic, you know, it was like so many different people coming out, Lucas Nelson. And so, you know, he came up and we just started jamming. And then I honestly had never met him before. Got back to LA, and then I got messages from Richie going, come over, I really want to jam, let's hang out. And I was like, okay, that sounds great, cool. So we ended up hanging out, jamming. Then we're actually in a relationship for like 4 years, and going on 8, and actually up and on. So it was a long time, and we wrote a lot of songs together, and Bob Rock came in and let's make an RSO record, which, you know, signed with EMG, and it was all kind of ready to go. And as things happen in this business, it got a bit weird, and God knows what happened, but we put a lot into it. You know, I left Alice for that and just put everything into that for about 5 years, a good 4 or 5 years. And then we just toured it, you know, played a lot of festivals together, all that kind of stuff. So, but we're on different paths now. He's doing his thing, I'm doing mine, and it's all cool. But yeah, it was definitely an experience, and it's great stuff. We wrote some really good songs for sure.
Hey, before we let you go, because this has been really insightful, a couple last parting questions. So what we like to do when we interview our artists is step away from the microphone and maybe tell us something, whether it's something that nobody knows about you on your, you know, personal level, or maybe a hobby of yours. So tell us a little bit about Orianti, the person, not the musician, not the artist.
As a person, well, my friends would probably call me a bit of like a free spirit hippie. I mean, something that people don't know about me. That's weird. I mean, I love to paint. That's another thing I like to do. Love painting. I love hiking. I love, you know, just going out on really long hikes. To the point my friends are delirious. So some of them don't join me anymore. So, what's something else about me? I'm a pescatarian, so I don't really, everyone knows I cook, so that's really obvious with everywhere. So it's kind of, I know something else that people don't really know, but probably the painting thing. I love sort of just painting abstract things and terrible paintings that are around my, content here that I'm not sure. My sister's a really good painter. My sister's an amazing artist, so I'm embarrassed actually to mention that.
Now compare California to Australia. Is this going to be your permanent place for life, California?
I might be moving soon, actually, to Nashville. So I'm just
makes
trying to
sense.
Figure. Yeah, because I love Nashville so much, and I've been here close to 19 years now. So I'm kind of thinking it could be a good thing for me to just change it up. But I might be back and forth, so I might keep my place here, get a place over there, and I just love the energy. I was just over there for the Gibson anniversary. My Gibson acoustic, which I did, my signature, which has been available now for some time, which I absolutely love. It's a J200.
Yeah, and that has Nashville written all over it.
Yeah.
Oh, it does. You know what? We designed this quite some time ago, and honestly, it's a dream come true to have like my own Gibson and you know, to accredit. So they've been lovely, and they have their garage over there. So it was cool to play that, and I made two records now in Nashville with Marty and Dave Stewart. And I've been over there since I was, 19 years old. So I keep on going back there. It just feels good. People are, you know, really friendly, and it's all about the music there, really is. You arrive at the airport and someone's singing. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow.
in the,
it's the place to be now.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
I spent 4 days down there last summer. They had the big Rockin' Pod Festival down there. So it was great. A lot of podcasters and heavy metal radio outfits were down there. We had a big convention. Rock guys were there. They had events off campus. We were at the airport, Marriott, and it was a good town. I didn't see as much as I wanted to, but you're right. It's a definite vibe. You land in and, you know, from a kid from Western New York, it was fun. So
I love New York too. I mean, I got to tell you, I miss going. I love walking around New York, New Jersey area. I spent a lot of time there, of course. You know, it's just such a vibe. I mean, you guys are kind of say like New Yorkers are kind of like Australians because we kind of, you know, we're pretty like blunt. We just say how we feel. Like there's no dancing around anything. So that's what I love about it. You know, a lot of my friends are New Yorkers actually, so, or from Jersey. So
yeah,
you guys, it's pretty similar to Aussies, I feel.
Awesome. And good beaches too.
Yeah.
100%. Yes, absolutely.
Look it up on the map. Point Pleasant Beach. Maybe you were here before. One of the best places on the Jersey Shore.
I've been there many times. Yes.
See, there you go. So another common bond.
Well, the new CD and DVD comes out on the 15th, live from Hollywood. And this fall, Rock Candy, the third solo album or second?
No, it's my fifth.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I think so. I've had On the Influence, Violet Journey, Believe. Then we had Heaven in This Hell. Then we had it's my sixth. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, we got to do our heavy metal homework. But point being, she's on whittling out her own place in the rock and heavy metal landscape. Aranthi, thank you for spending a little more time than we needed today. We appreciate it, and we will do everything to spread the word and educate our listeners. Thank you for your time.
Much. Thank you.
This was a really great, insightful discussion, and I hope that maybe we get to see you bring the band over to the East Coast. We would love to come see a show, so hopefully we see some touring, and we'll have this interview up the day before your album gets released, so you got fresh media coming right your way in a couple days.
Yeah.
Much love to you guys. Thank you so much for your time. Take care.
Thank you so much. Great. Yeah. Best of luck.
Bye, guys.
Metal for Life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.